And let me say it again. Spiritual things are real. Are you getting my point? Idol worshippers do things. When Moses went into Egypt, what did he do? He cast down his sword and turned to what? Serpent, snake. The Egyptian magician looked and said, it's not a small thing now. Now bring me one rod there. Different styles. Yeah? Throw them for ground. Moses, you feel make snake. See my own. Alright? The first few miracles that Moses did, they replicated. One of the ways by which God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Because what Moses did, it was after a while that Moses now went beyond their level. You're getting the point I'm making. Now, so I just want to explain the fact that these things happened both ways. Amongst the idol people, and then this is a problem. A lot of Christians have never seen it in Christianity. So, if they see things like that, they are surprised. Are you getting what I'm saying? If I can again tell you that those days, on his side ministering, it was one of the reasons why he was going to die early. Because he had the ministry of a prophet. And he says that a prophet is known by the regular operation of at least two of these gifts. Apart from the fact that he preaches and prophesies, you will find the gift of the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and then the sending of spirits. I will explain each one of them if I can. Okay? He said that you find that in regular manifestation. So someone like Kenneth Hagin will be teaching. And then suddenly you will have a vision. You know, someone maybe like, as he's preaching, you just say, that man sitting down there, his last 2 days will just play before his eyes, maybe in a few seconds. You know everything that happened to that man in the last 2 days. And then God will now tell him what to tell the man to do about certain situations. And he will want to start, then he will look around and say, this people could say I'm a fortune teller. Then he will stop and continue teaching. After I did that for a while, one day he tripped somewhere and broke his arm. And while he was in hospital trying to fix his arm, the Lord appeared to him and said, look, you are first a prophet, then a teacher. And that what you have been doing is that you have been neglecting to prophesy, all right, or pray the ministry of the prophet, and all you've been doing is teaching. If I didn't stop you now, you will have died at the age of 55. I'm telling you the truth. And that he had to fall and break his arm so that they can have this talk. So after that, Kenegi will go everywhere. He doesn't care whether you like it or not. He will prophesy. Because he's prophesying towards long life and prosperity. You get the point I'm making. Now, so that's because sometimes Christians are not used to it. Alright? That is one. Then secondly, is that again, most of the things I know from here, I read from Kenneth Hagin, all right? I read a lot of from him. One of the things he explained then again is that people counterfeit. Now, of course, you counterfeit means there's an original. And let me say this. A lot of things we see in churches, I didn't say most, I said a lot. The fact that something's happening in the church doesn't make it authentic. A lot of things that we see is what they call operations of familiar spirits. What are familiar spirits? I'll describe them in a moment. But just know that there's what the Bible calls the word of wisdom and then the word of knowledge. I'll explain what they mean, and I'll talk about familiar spirits later. What Ken Hagin said about it. Now, well, I've said all this to let you know that these things are real. And sometimes, if you have been under ministries like this for a long time, you may forget that they actually happen. I have friends that if you give them a microphone to preach for 5 minutes, you see visions for 10 minutes. And they are not lying. That's just them. But if I start preaching, they will sit down and be writing everything I'm saying down. But let me hand out a microphone to them. Before they talk for 5 minutes, they've seen 3 visions. That's just their life. It doesn't mean, no, really. Each person has a gift. I'm serious. I'm serious about it. Now, some things are quite attractive. When I say attractive, they pull the crowd. If you start seeing visions, you can be sure. See all these people where they walk up and that, we don't know, say you did there. Eh? Once you start, they start coming to you. But one of the things I said earlier is that Paul said people were led in the practice of dumb idols. There was a way pagans did it. Do you understand? And let me say this boldly. A lot of white garment, you know what they call white garment churches? That's what they practice. That's what they practice. They practice divination. They use familiar spirits. That's why you are sure if you go there, they will see vision for you. Real Christian prophets cannot tell you when they will see vision for you. They can't. Ken Hagin will go for years and not see vision. That's it. I'm telling you. And he's a prophet. He will tell you that there's nothing. You can't tell me, please, see vision for me. There's nothing. Those who do it are those who operate familiar spirits. I'm serious. So see why government churches, you just walk there. Kneel there, a man will appear. Please, sir, see this photograph. This is Nkiru. This is Anne. And this is Mabel. Which one do I marry? And the man will start beating drum. The way they drum sometimes, you know they are conjuring up African spirits. Not Holy Spirit. The man starts going into the motions. After a while, his shoulder starts jerking. He enters person. Hey, thank you. Keep it. Maybe. If I had these three, none of them in jail. And the guy was thank you very much, sir. Carry his load and go. Anybody doing that has not only been deceived, he has opened the door for Satan to direct his life for life. One of the things that Christians do these days, everything they want to do, they must show a man of God. Let him pray whether it will work. We didn't finish talking about that. When he says that, in fact, this is how my pastor in Lagos, Pastor Kwaju, used to say it, that any man who does that has covered his head. And a man is not allowed to cover his head. The idea is that the man is supposed to have a direct communication with God. But they cover their head. You know why? It is easier, actually. You can blame somebody. Pastor, there are three jobs. Which one do I take? I'm not talking about taking wise counsel. Wise counsel is a different thing. You can discuss with people. You can ask advice from those who you feel have more understanding than you. Some people ask me, of course, if you come and say, there are three women, which one do I marry? I don't say you're the Christmas. So that one is out of the way. That is acute, severe madness. So I'm not interested. I only accept such counsel when it's things like job, house, journeys. You know, do I relocate or not? Then we'll start talking. Usually what I do is I tell you, okay, all right, there are three issues on the ground. First, let's check your motivation. I counsel your motivation. Let's check your fears. Let's check your faith. Once we align those things properly, anyone you like do is the will of God. I'm going to start talking about the will of God again shortly. When we finish Bride of Christ, I'll talk about the will of God again. I'll talk about money management all over again. We can't say we discussed it before. Let's go over them again. People need to understand. I'll just give you advice based on, not because most of those things I don't even know. I've never been to maybe they come and take a job in Kuwait. I've never been to Kuwait. I've never been to South Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? I've never been to Ghana. I have never worked in an oil company. Neither have I ever worked in a bank. I have never worked in a law firm. How can I advise you on which one to work in? But at least I know basic things. I know about motivation, spiritual motivation. I know about fears. I know about faith. There are people who would have loved to go to Ghana and they just feel like it's another African country. They can't prosper there. Do you get what I'm saying? And the guy said, no, that is not right. Then we explain the word of God. Do you get my point? Then afterwards, we leave you alone. You go and make your decisions. But familiar spirits, prophets who operate with familiar spirits, forget, they will see vision for you. As I began to pray, I saw that in Kuwait, they hung you by the neck and you died. As I continue to pray, in that Ghana, they mobbed you one day, all of them just use club to bleed your head. Next 10 jobs you show the man, he said, take none. In fact, Holy Spirit said you shouldn't leave your house for the next 1 year. Yeah, one year. Poverty will finish. That is, oh my God. Yeah. Thomas Aremu, one of the bishops in Winners Chapel, said he went to Flux Club Ministry. When he started Winners in Ibadan, that was the problem. One of the problems he had to solve. One man, all his business had finished. You know why? He lived in Ibadan. His business was essentially operated in Lagos. And one white garment prophet told him he couldn't go through Lagos-Ibadan Express again. Hunger upon him, his wife, and his children. He had his family in Ibadan. Business day Lagos. Upario, Baba couldn't go anywhere again. So one day somebody said, come, let me take you to another man of God who can liberate you from this bondage. So he went there. When he went there, they said, so the problem now is that you don't have no other problem that you can't go to Lagos. He said, no. He said, okay, don't worry. You will go to Lagos. Come, kneel down there. Father, let him go to Lagos. Let him be protected. I command you to go to Lagos in Jesus' name and come back. Oh, but thank you very much, sir. And the man got up, went to Lagos and came back, and went and came back, and became a member of this church. At least there's liberation here. There's one man I met, my friend was teaching in their school, a white garment church. And this guy, there's one guy who used to come, when I go and visit him in the evening. I said, those days when money was very hard. Believe me, Nigeria, money is softer now than then. Then it was hard like a rock. So, how many people drove to Kumbo? How much more brand new cars? This man was used to buy his car brand new to tell how much money he had, a Ghanaian. This is business in Lagos, and he had the duplex in Surulere. Except that, you know where he used to sleep every night? On the pew inside the church. You know what they call pew? All these Pentecostals, you sit on plastic chair. Go proper church, if you don't remember proper church. And Paco, Iroko tree, doesn't bend. If you fall on it, you are scattered. Do you know this kind of Paco? The service can't be too long, because he has to begin paying best. Service can't be too long. That's how the guy used to sleep. I'm serious. Why? He was in bondage. And the white government will pray for him and liberated him in quotes. And said, the only place where deliverance is now is to sleep on the pew. I said, this man is not in, he's not free. He's in bondage. He doesn't understand. That's how white garment people, look, I have had to pray white garment people out of people's homes. Not as a pastor, as a young man. Friends, please let us pray. Because they like to take people captives. They make people captives. What they do is just use, in fact, Pastor Chris will tell you about shamanism. I don't know much about shamanism. That's what Okoti talks about, shamanism. Well, what they call shamanism, okay, it has to do with divination and controlling things and all of that. It practices a lot in the pagan religions, all right? Now, this is what I'm just making. So this will use all those familiar spirits. And listen, Ken Hagin, in one of his books, narrated the fact that there was a pastor. I'm telling you, a lot of pastors use it. They don't realize it because it attracts people. Do you understand? It makes you come to your church. As soon as you begin, as they are singing, you just begin see vision. Hey, you that just came in. The car almost jammed you just now. No, sir. Yes, sir. Last week, they promoted in the office. Yes. That is, and it's not lying. No. One thing after the other. Correct. Hey, there are spirits that people are mortal. You don't know. They just go around peeping at everything that happened to you. They come and report to the man. He said, okay, that one he married last week. As you enter, just say, somebody here just came all the way from Akwa Ibom. And you married the previous week in Port Harcourt. Yes, you are wearing a red shirt. Now, these are the things that turn people away from true manifestations, because there are true manifestations. Hagin will say in that book, in one of his books I read, talking about people misusing the gift of the prophet. This guy, he will come to your house. And he's a teacher, you know, like a preacher. You know what he used to do. But you prophesy. Amen. You have 7,650 naira in the top drawer in your bedroom. The dressing, the chest of drawers is on the left as you enter. Right there is the 7,650 naira. God said you should give it to me. Listen. The chest of drawers is dead where he said it is. The 7,650, you know, such odd figures. They just got it correctly. What's the next thing you do? You go home. How can you disobey a man of God? He said he prophesied diamonds out of people's pockets. He just come to you and say, there is a diamond that your grandfather passed over to your mother. And your mother gave to you before she died. God said, give it to me. The diamond right now is lying at the head of your bed. Behind this, you hid it with a pillow so that nobody will know it's there. And it's not lying. I'm telling you. People will go around looking for vision. You go see vision, you go tire. You go see, look, vision correct, you're wrong. You know, it doesn't move me. It doesn't move me at all. The man used to see vision accurate. I have seen demons see more accurate visions. What's my problem? No, I'm serious. That's why it's so important for Christians to know that, look, they are real, but there are fakes also. Are you getting my point? Let me just try and say to who I'm describing what I'm saying. He said, to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Let me explain what those things mean. Let me start with the word of knowledge. What's a word of knowledge? It just means to know something. But this is through the Spirit. You suddenly know something, become acquainted with something that you previously did not know. Let me give you an example. Maybe suddenly, you just know as maybe let me give you a practical story I've read. Not really happened to me, but it's something I read somewhere. Like Hagin, one of his books was explained that a man, he saw a man prophesied to him and told him, "Look, this man, you were raised to believe there is no God, and there's no heaven and there's no hell. Right now, you are over the age of 70, and he had never met the man." He said, "But consider this, right now you have one foot in hell and the other one is gently slipping in." The man was looking at him. So that's what God said, "I should tell you." Later on, he said, as a matter of fact, he was raised by this kind of father, kind of mother. They said there's no God. He grew up not believing that there's God. Last week, he turned 71, something like that. And last week, he had his first heart attack. As an example, that's what the man meant when he said that you have one foot in hell and the other one is gently slipping in. Now, he had never met the man before. One of our seniors in school, the Bibini Ben, those days, how did he give his life to Christ? W.F. Kumuyi was preaching. And suddenly began to give what we call a word of knowledge. Just say something like, there's a young man sitting somewhere over there. It described the kind of, maybe you're from Anambra State. Currently, you go to school, University of Benin. You're an engineering student. And describing that God said, you must give your life to Christ now. Come forward. The man waited for a while. He didn't see anybody. He said, wait. Then he described him further. You are this height. You are like this. You are like that. The guy said, he didn't move. He said, I'm going to call your name next. The guy jumped up and ran forward. Because really, if he didn't, next thing the guy would do is tell you, look, your name is so and so and so person. And he had never met him. That's how that guy became a believer. You know, first those stories are of fake things. All those ones that dig money out of your pocket. You know, the motive is to tell you the kind of spirit you are dealing with. Hagin talked about the preacher, that one who used to prophesy and collect jewelry and all of that. He was a real preacher. Actually, before, he will see correct visions. He will see visions with terrible, one is terrible now, with seriously divine, miraculous manifestations. So you believe him. Tomorrow, he yields to evil spirits and they start telling him things, familiar spirits. But let's just sit on what Paul is talking about here. I just want us to understand that these things happen. All right? So what is the word of knowledge? The word of knowledge is that in which it just helps you. It suddenly God gives you. Actually, it's for the purpose of ministering to people. It's not for vainglory. Are you getting my point? I've seen people do it before. Their children fooling themselves. Just want to say, me too, I'm spiritual. I can see visions. I can have word of knowledge. I can, when I was in school, it was raining. We had brethren at that time. They're very unique in their manifestations. Before they preach for 5 minutes, they have to pause. And then they just give you an accurate description of somebody's life. And say that God says they should tell the person this, this, and that. And it's for the blessing of that person's life. I was in Hagin once. He was ministering. A man was diabetic. In fact, the way his own used to happen is that before he comes to the meeting, he just only have a vision. There's one young man. He's wearing red shirt and black trousers. The guy is going to sit on that particular seat. And he will enter the church. He will look at that seat and there's nobody like that. He will just ignore it and continue preaching. Next time he sees the guy has come, maybe he comes late and he sits there. And God will tell him, this is what is wrong with the fellow. This is his problem. This is his problem. Tell him. Because one of the things that thing does is that it stirs up faith in the heart of the person. You just say, hey, you sir, come. Some people will declare it openly. He just called you forward, tell you one or two things. Next thing they say, God said, I should pray for you and you're going to get healed now. I saw him do it to one man who was diabetic. You are getting the point I make. In fact, there was a man, William Marion Braham. Oh God, his own was something else. They are followers of his doctrines because he made a terrible mistake. Side teaching, he didn't know how to teach. He didn't even go to school. Couldn't even read properly. What was he teaching? But he was heavily anointed as a prophet. 5 years before he died, Ken Hagin is also a prophet. God revealed to Ken Hagin that guy is going to die in 5 years. December 65, the man died. He had a vision of this in December 59 or 60, something like that. So that man, let me give you one of the things that happened to him. Those days when they want to minister to people, you feel cast, because a lot of people come for, they are sick, they need ministration, hands laid on them for healing. And so sometimes you just walk up to him. You've written things down on card. So the person, his assistant is supposed to just bring out the card and say, oh, this is so and so person. So that he can save time. They would have interviewed you ahead of time. So because he was very, very anointed and a lot of people he had to pray for. So just to save time, so you won't spend the whole time telling the story. 16 years ago, I first fell sick. Then I went here and then this happened and then this. No. The assistants already know what to tell him. They know what he wants to know. So they can go through it in 30 seconds. And he goes on with his ministration. Now, Hagin will tell that those days when things are difficult, they used to send the people to William Marion Brigham. He was very, very powerful. Sometimes people walk up to him and then before they read the card, you say, oh, you're Mr. John. You have come from Minnesota. And this is a problem. 6 weeks ago, doctor diagnosed that you had this kind of heart condition. You had an operation the following week. You had this kind of complication. He will tell you the whole story. He has not listened to his assistant. He has not seen the card. And you look at him like, what? Say, yes. What he wants to do now is to turn around, run down there and back, and you are healed. And that's it. Obey him. Your problems are gone. See, some young men, I say, no, this man must be spying. He must have a mechanism for checking what is on those cards. So they went and killed and wrote that they had certain problems. Let's just assume. Typhoid fever, a stroke, heart disease, and kind of, they just wrote it. Two guys. And they went and joined the queue. And there was nothing wrong with them. When they got to their turn, as soon as the one guy came up to him, I don't know whether he laid hands on him or a guy just stood in front of him, he just said, ah, what do I see before me? I see two young men who have proposed in their hearts to deceive the man of God. And they have written that they have this. He just read everything they wrote down. He said, now let it come upon them as they have declared. I'm telling you, so like, you know, this has happened. No, really. You know, a lot of people don't, they get captivated by it, you know, but they happen. And I'm not talking about fake jokers like TB Joshua. I'm talking about serious people. Really. Sometimes, you know, no, really. I've seen people who had authentic manifestations, they derail after a while, because one of the things that Kenneth Hagin said is that people will be careful not to make these things happen. That for him, he does that when he's had the most powerful visions, powerful manifestations have been times he never even prepared for anything. He just came to preach and just walked in. And that's it, the thing just began. There are times he just be ministering one by one to people. One person comes forward, he'll give you a word that God said he should tell you, that God said he should tell you specifically, just for you. Are you getting me? One after the other. He said, but people have to learn that it's as the Spirit wills. There are times he walks in having fasted and prayed for 4 days. He will finish teaching faith and go away nothing. And he has learned never to try, because he has seen that those who tried, evil spirits love them. He whispered to you, you want to see vision? You go see vision now. You go see vision. I have found out personal experience. I've seen people like that. After a while, those evil spirits are very wicked. They always run the people mental. I'm serious. Those evil spirits are very wicked spirits. Don't even go near them at all. Your spirits are visiting you. Better tell them to leave you alone. That you want to read the Bible. And it's true. So that's what they call a word of knowledge. Is that okay? People just know things. There are different ways by which God gives them. A lot of things, some may call it, for some people to appear like visions. If you remember, Elisha is a good example. When the Shunammite woman, all right, when she came, when her son died, and came to look for Elisha, and Elisha gave the staff. You know, when the woman, he just said, who is that? He said, it's the Shunammite woman. And the woman was coming. And I think it was Gehazi or his servant, or one of his servants anyway. He just said, look, go and ask the woman, what's the problem? The woman said, it is well. And Elisha was there. I said, what is going on? Why has God not revealed? That is, he recorded. They said, God hasn't told me anything. He said, well, let's see what is happening. Then the woman now arrived and began to lament this, and this, and that, and that. I told her not to deceive me. You have deceived me now that I will have a son. I had the son. The son is dead now. What are we going to do? And Elisha said, like, look, God, I'm bringing out something. God did not reveal it to him that this woman's son was going to die or had died. came upon him by surprise. Gehazi lied to Elisha. What does that tell you? Elisha didn't used to know everything. If Elisha was always knowing everything, going to go as a prophet, Gehazi would not have dared it. But he knew that most things that happened, Elisha didn't used to know. It just occasionally that God would just reveal things to the man. That's how it is with the prophets of God, real prophets. You can't decide when something happens or when it won't happen. Do you get my point? All right? So that's what we mean when we're talking about a word of knowledge. Now, let me talk about a word of wisdom. Okay, I wasn't going to explain the fact that sometimes it comes in visions. The person sees it in a vision. Other times, he doesn't see in a vision, doesn't he? But he just knows. I don't know how to explain that. You know, he just knows that this is the issue. He can't explain to you how come he knows, but he knows. Whatever it is, it's called a word of knowledge. Now, what's a word of wisdom? This is how people have described what a word of wisdom is. They say a word of knowledge is that which has to do with that which is happening now or has happened before in the past. And a word of wisdom has to do that which is going to happen in the future. That is, if you say, look, there's going to be like Agabus, you say there's going to be famine. So that's a word of wisdom. Now, I've reasoned a bit, and it didn't make sense to me, and I couldn't buy it. I believe whether it is present, future, or past, is a word of knowledge. But when God gives direction concerning what to do, let me give you an example. Pharaoh dreamt, and they walked up to, they called them Joseph, and Joseph interpreted the dream. That's a word of knowledge. And then he now told them what to do. Do you get the point I'm making? The interpretation of dream was about things that will come, we know. But then, he now had the supernatural ability to offer solution to that was going to happen. To me, that's a word of wisdom. I don't believe a word of wisdom has to look so dramatic. But my understanding, I'm insisting on the word wisdom. That is, take Moses, what's his name? Solomon as an example. They brought two women to him with two babies, the same age, all of them looking alike. They are babies. One is dead, one is alive. This woman said, this baby is mine. The other one said, no, that one is my own. It's a dead one that we don't know the owner. And this was a young boy. He was, at that time, maybe a teenager. And he was king in Israel, replacing his father, who was highly respected everywhere. What was he going to do? Suddenly, he had an idea. And that idea solved the situation, didn't it? That was a word of wisdom. It was a word of wisdom. That's the way I understand it. It was a word of wisdom. Do you understand? Before him, nobody used that method. There was a difficult situation, a crisis matter, and then suddenly he knew exactly what to do. What am I saying? When somebody has a supernaturally endowed, unique point presentation concerning what to do to solve a difficult matter, the kind of wisdom that before then he did not have, in my opinion, that is what is called the word of what? Wisdom. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. Let me just stop it here. I know I've talked about word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and then to another faith by the same spirit. I'll talk about that faith, and because of what we've been saying about faith, what I wrote in Great Faith can be yours. I need time to explain that one. Okay, let me just stop here. Let's stop in verse 8, and the next time we'll talk from verse 9. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good.